Davidson and Pierce, and Chairman Cotton. First bill on the calendar today is House Bill 164. As you know, we've had 3 days of hearings and discussion on the bill. At this time, you have a proposed CS in front of you, and I would ask for a motion to adopt that as the committee substitute with one exception, and that would be the deletion of Section 4 of the bill, which is the retroactivity clause. We have a CS prepared that would accomplish that. Madam Chair?
Chairman, I move that we adopt committee substitute for House Bill 164 resources, and as you noted, delete Section 4.
Is there objection to the motion?
I object.
Is there any discussion? Those in favor of the motion, please signify by raising your hand. There are 4 votes in favor. Those opposed? 2. The motion passes. Are there other amendments that people wish to offer? Representative Pierce?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we remove Section 2 from the proposed CS in its entirety.
The motion is to delete Section 2, which would be the so-called PEL rebuttal opportunity. As you know, a producer could challenge the 300-barrel limit, ask for a higher number if he felt that economic conditions required that. In the history of the ELF, the Department of Revenue and Law have pointed out that there's only been one challenge, and that was at the Milne Point field.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think that the fact that there has only been one to date, but it also happened to be on the one field that has been closed down, indicates the importance of leaving this ability in for the companies. If we truly want any sort of incentive at all, then this is something that we shouldn't change. It's my understanding from the testimony we heard on Wednesday, I'm trying to find who said it, that when the bill was put together in the first place back in 77-78, that although 300 barrels was a very rough approximation at that time of the revenue to cover direct operating costs of one well for one day, some people said it was as much as 1,000 barrels probably, others said that it wasn't as much as 300, and they just chose that number. I think that any of us intuitively can figure out that there has been certainly inflation since then, and that we could expect that even if that was a high number then, it's probably more in line now. If we want to help those smaller fields that we say we're trying to work to give real incentives, I think we should leave this in so that they can come in and rebut the 300 barrels so that they can continue producing if indeed that's warranted. If it's only happened once, I don't know what we're afraid of.
Well, of course, the governor's transmittal letter, I don't know if people have it in front of them, but that's where the discussion took place about the double dip or the double hit. If prices were to plummet down as they did last year, a rebuttal of the 300-barrel PEL could result in a zero severance tax and a double hit on the state revenue stream. And I think that that's one of the reasons the governor suggested it's probably not a good idea.
But that's prospective. It's something that could happen. And once again, oil prices did not reach that low level. That floor was never reached. And all this does is say that a producer in a single field where they're very marginal can come in, and if they can show that their costs are higher, then the state could. I mean, it's a hearing process. It's not like we automatically have to do it. So I don't see why there's any reason to remove it.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm assuming that when you mentioned the one area that was closed down, that's Milne Point, isn't that? Is that what you're talking about?
It is the one field that is closed.
And it is Conoco that operates Milne Point? It's interesting, Mr. Chairman, that the one company that is affected by this is the one company that supports House Substitute 164.
Their testimony didn't specifically speak to this stuff.
That's true. They did say they supported the bill, but they didn't specifically respond.
They have used this.
Mm-hmm. Is there other discussion on the proposed amendment? Those in favor of the amendment? Shows 2 votes. Those opposed? There are 4 votes. The committee will note that the Department of Revenue has delivered a fiscal note that members should have. Are there other amendments or other discussion on the bill? Standard ease. Standard ease for... We got a couple people out of town, see if you can join us today. No, that's an old one, that's a collection. Here's the...
This one right here.
I don't think it's in that packet.
We're looking at... Where is it? There must be 80.
Easy.
Hey, Mike, we've adopted a CS for 164 that deleted the retroactivity clause.
Thank you.
Call me back to order. Sure. Mr. Erickson from OMB, would you please come forward and identify yourself for the record with a question?
My name is Greg Erickson, Mr. Chairman. I'm senior economist with the Office of Management and Budget.
Representative Kirk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the memo that you did for me, Mr. Erickson, talking about profits versus investments in the state of Alaska over a four-year period, 82 through 85, would you clarify for me that oil industry Alaska profits means those profits, as best you can figure out, that we actually received in Alaska, but that doesn't include the pipeline profits?
The profits on the sheet that I provided you in response to your request, Representative Pierce, includes all profits earned in Alaska, including those earned on the pipeline. In general, all of the dollar values in that calculation are sourced to Department of Revenue's official publications, with the exception of the allocation of federal income tax to Alaska, which was an OMB calculation.
Okay, so during the period when oil prices were certainly high, and perhaps at, well, not quite at their highest, I guess, but certainly during a high price period, over 4 years, the profits of the companies were $22 million versus a $6 billion investment.
$22,000 million, Representative Pierce.
Okay, so it's $22 billion. Okay, that was what I wanted to clarify. Thank you. And do the new federal tax laws affect, how are they going to affect the companies?
I haven't analyzed that issue. So I guess I'd be reluctant to opine on that.
Okay. You don't have any idea whether the shares percentages are going to change because of that?
I would imagine that the new federal tax laws will result in changes in the tax position of the companies. I think some companies may be imperfect and others improved, but I just haven't looked at that at all.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Are there any other questions, Mr. Navar?
Okay. Mr. Erickson?
You're good.
Yeah. I asked a question yesterday in finance about the 100 million barrels of oil that we potentially might be leaving in the ground versus the total revenues to the state. I'm trying to see what the dollar figures were. Even if we left 100 million barrels versus the 25 million that the state has projected.
Well, each barrel that is being produced right now adds, actually, I hesitate to provide a number, but something in the neighborhood of $1 to state revenue right now, from royalty and taxes and so forth. Now, that changes dramatically, of course, as the price of oil at the wellhead changes, so it could be much, much more, it could be much, much less. The 100 million figure, of course, was a number that was offered by another organization, not from the state. I'm afraid maybe I don't quite understand your question, Representative.
What I'm looking at is the 100 million barrels that we're going to be leaving in the ground, how soon would that shut the wells down, and what would be the difference between leaving them open however long under the ELF to reach the 25 million or whatever versus the increase in revenues to the state over that period of time?
Well, I can't answer that question, Representative Menard, because the analysis that, if there is an analysis that supports that 100 million figure, has not been made available to us. That was a number that was provided by, if I recall correctly, the Atlantic, or ARCO, Alaska Inc. And our analysis suggests a much smaller loss of ultimate production as a consequence of the ELF changes that have been proposed. And indeed, I think it came out in questioning yesterday, if I recall correctly, that the 100 million barrel loss was assuming a much different bill than the one you have before you.
Okay, I guess what I'm getting at is I think under any scenario, the increase in revenues would offset whatever we have to leave in the ground.
Oh, I don't think there's any question that that's the case. The analysis that Dr. Logsdon did regarding the alternative ELF that was done quite some time ago suggested that that about $70 to $90 in additional tax royalty and tax and royalty revenue would accrue to the state for each barrel of oil foregone as a consequence of adopting the ELF alternative, the that is in the bill before you. So that's net, of course, of the every barrel you leave in the ground results in a loss of severance tax and royalty revenue on that barrel, but the change that caused that barrel to stay in the ground raises far more revenue than the revenue lost from the non-production of that barrel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harrison. Any other questions? Mr. Davidson?
Is it proper now? I would move that we send House Bill Committee Substitute 164 out of committee with individual recommendation.
Is there objection to moving the bill?
Object. Just for purpose of vote.
Just for what?
Purpose of a vote.
those in favor of moving the bill, raise your hand. There are five votes. Those opposed? Two votes. So, we have two other bills on the calendar today. My intention is to, if possible, move one of them and hold the other one over. We'll take up House Bill 93 first. This is the, you can dig us the,
it's 319, the version
in the right-hand corner to say 319-87, Bradley. We've had, what, three or four subcommittee meetings on this particular bill. The result is what some people feel is a good balanced compromise that I feel accomplishes the original purposes that I had in mind when I introduced House Bill 93. The legal descriptions that discuss the actual areas we're talking about could be described if people are interested in those. We've gone over those the last couple of days showing state land that's involved, also pointing out the private land that's within the corridors. Representative Pierce?
Yes, thank you. Have the change has been made that his name Marty was pointing out to us where she had questions about legals that were in this versus.
Yes, we included all the legal descriptions that were that the Susitna plan recommended, except there's a remaining question on mental health lands. And I was going to ask Ned to just to explain how we handled the mental health land situation. I believe we can put them in subject to, and I'll let Ned.
Mr. Chairman, Ned Farquhar from the committee staff. As far as the mental health lines, we haven't put an amendment in yet, but we could exclude them pending final decision on how to manage those lines by the legislature. As you know, there's a cash-based solution proposal right now being considered by the Finance Committee. So it would be probably pretty easy to go ahead and amend this bill so that the mental health lines are excluded, and when they become general grant lands, they would then be included in the bill.
So how would, once again, on that, you would include them in the legal descriptions, and as a result, they would be part of the record of a corridor?
You can start out the legal description, Mr. Chairman, with a clause that says, except for mental health lands, the state-owned land described below is designated for recreation river units. And then when the legislature redesignates those lands, those mental health lands, as general grant land, after resolving the issue, if that's what happens, then those mental health lands would fall into the Red River corridors.
Does anybody else understand that?
You want me to go through that again? The idea is that the legislature is going to redesignate, if the legislature decides to go with the cash-based solution to the mental health lands problem, they're going to redesignate the mental health lands as general grant lands. So they'll no longer be mental health lands within the units. That's the general idea. What were mental health lands will become general grant lands and will therefore be included in the rivers.
Okay, well, this committee really hasn't assumed jurisdiction over the mental health question anyway, and that's been within the Finance Committee's jurisdiction, so I suppose we can leave the resolution of that question finally to the Finance Committee. But generally, I just leave them in there unless there's a problem from the mental health community, and if there's other than a cash-based settlement on that issue,
then they would
have
stay
to be withdrawn.
Well, they could stay in mental health plans that would still be excluded from the bill.
Would it be appropriate, Mr. Chairman, to send a letter of intent along with this to address the issue of if there's going to be a payoff on the lands or whatever? But that's one thing that this committee did not address, and before it hits the board, that's one thing that did.
Right. Well, the other prime sponsor, Representative Pershaw, of course, is on the Finance Committee, and he's been in charge of the mental health issue up there, so I don't think it's going to be, we won't get lost in the shuffle on anything.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if I can get a motion to adopt the CES, so that one of the problems is a lot of the interest groups have been seeing so many different versions that if we have an officially adopted committee substitute, that will put the message out that we actually have agreed to start from another from a new point.
I will.
Is there an objection? If the CES is in front of you, is it not?
No, I was going to move it to that.
If you have any specific questions or want detailed descriptions or of the land involved or any other questions, please feel free to either ask now or you can do it at another time at your leisure.
What is your plan as far as moving this out? Today?
My hope is to move it out Monday as a first order of business. Some other interested people in the Mat Valley last night got together and they've got some suggestions for some minor changes, and I wanted to make sure that we had time to take a look at those before the bill left committee. I wanted to if possible, respond to those. Representative Herman?
Yeah, just a quick question. I'm just wondering about, like, you changed it from a system to six recreation rivers, and just want to point out about the special legislation that you might check that out.
Oh, you mean are you suggesting that it might be a special act or a general act could apply as a result of violation of constitution?
Yeah, but maybe you could just give me some background on I guess this is a compromise.
Well, more than anything, it's a compromise in the title of the bill, because really, a person could add another set of legal descriptions in the statute and as a result have another river that would follow the same rules. So it really, I suppose, a person could say it technically is a system of recreation rivers, although we don't describe it that way in the title.
Oh, they could do that
yes.
by statute?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
If you take a look at the way this thing works,
okay.
on page 7, you take a look online for the land and water presently owned by the state that lies within the following described parcels are established as recreation rivers. And then you start, you list the six there. You could add another river to that list.
Okay, thank you.
But it would take an act of legislature, of course, to do that. Mm-hmm.
One of the problems that could exist or could happen is if the thing started through the process and it was that broad of a title, several rivers could be added to it before it ultimately passed both houses, you know, without being definitive in saying an act of statute is six.
Representative Menard?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Is the Tahkeetna River still in this?
Yes, it is.
How far are we going up on that?
We went all the way up to the, everything was in, was recommended by the Susitna Plan. As you recall, the Susitna Plan recommended the inclusion of the Tahkeetna River, and they made a special note about the upper Tahkeetna, and that it should be, that some provision for mining should be allowed in the upper reaches. And as you know, we've included the opportunity for mining leasing throughout all the rivers. Mm-hmm. So we felt that problem was overcome as a result of that inclusion.
When we were looking on the map last night, I know we were excluding that section or what appeared to be like Sheep River where Iron Creek and that business there. Do you remember?
We can get those maps back out if you like.
Well, I don't know. I don't have to take any time now, but I was just... If you knew what Ned knew on the top of your head, how far we were going up.
Well, we went up, I can't remember the name of the creek that was at the top there, but there was all the area that was recommended by the Susitna Plan. So it went quite a ways further up. It was we included a section that had not been included last year.
Okay, I'll look at it.
All right, so I'll set that aside, and now we can get to House Bill 118. No, House 18. Bill 18. And I believe that you want to join us again, Ned. I think there's some amendments here that the sponsors have recommended.
Mr. Chairman, there's a memo to the chairman from Representative Larson dated March 9th. Which suggested several changes in the bill, and that should still be in your files. And what we've done is to take some of those after discussion with the sponsor and put them into the bill. On page one of the proposed CS, dated March 19th, at line 12, the words promote public and private have been substituted for the word manage. And on line 13, economic has been added. So now purpose number two reads, emphasize and promote public and private recreational uses and associated economic development activities in the unit. On page two of the bill, at line 20, there has been a change to show that the Department of Natural Resources won't manage any borough land until the borough signs a management agreement for those lands. That was unclear before, so that's been clarified. On page four, at line 16, the sponsor had recommended that the regulations section be amended to reflect the second sentence. Until a boat launch is constructed in the recreation area, the commissioner may not restrict boating activities within the Willow Creek State Recreation Area except to protect public safety. And that seemed more likely to be temporary law than to go into the regulations section. So it was drafted into the Section 3, which won't go into the statute.
Now, does everybody have the proposed amendments? I don't.
The proposed CS?
I don't have the proposed amendments. I don't have a copy of the bill.
Here's the CS.
I have.
But there was a memo from the sponsor on the amendments. Okay, I've got that now. Okay.
Shall I go through that again?
Well, I just wanted to hear that. The page 3, line 14 and 15, allow voting.
The sponsor had recommended that that go under the regulations section in statute, and instead, that idea has been added under Section 3 of the bill on page 4 in the CS at line 16.
Ms. Endeavor.
I guess I have to question why it was put in statute, not just left up to regulation, because it just seems like we put this into law, we're going to have to, it's not going to be applicable after a few years to vote on this bill.
This would be a temporary act, right?
That's right. This would go into the temporary law.
And it's not real clear, but I think the intent there is you're talking about a boat launch at the mouth of Willow Creek, right?
Right.
All this says is until a boat launch is constructed.
Completion of the road.
Do you have it? Pardon me.
Do we have it this morning?
Yes, there is. I think it's like.
I don't.
It should be, and I think it was $54,000.
That's right. $57,000.
There's a zero fiscal note that their sponsor provided about a week ago that I guess hasn't made it into your files.
So the recommendation from the sponsor is for a zero fiscal note?
Well, it was actually solicited by the sponsor in a hearing a couple of about a month ago, and DNR provided that,
right.
And we have it, and I'm sorry that's not in your files.
Do you have anything to add on this, Mr. Bernard, as a person who's been following us diligently for the past several weeks?
Just, Mr. Chairman, that there is a lot of support for the bill in the area, and as well as following back on the district, House Bill 93 is picking up momentum also. So I think they are real good bills, and there is a lot of excitement for them, and they are needed.
Other questions? Can I get a motion to adopt the CS?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask consent that we adopt three substitute for House Bill 18 Resources 3-1987.
Objection? If not, do we have a CS in front of us? It's the pleasure of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to just make a statement that I agree, you know, with the concept of this bill. And, you know, looking at the fiscal note, you know, just looking folks out for my district right now, you know, we have like one of the world or the country's largest state park, the Woodchick-Chick State Park. We have a person there that's there for 8 months out of the year, and the rest of the time he spends in the shoe bar. Or he's, you know, budgeted for eight months out of the year. He's not there 8 months out of the year. And, you know, I know it's all this stuff has to go through the whole budget process, but it does concern me when things like this happen, and I see why it needs to happen, you know, because of the congested recreational use around the Anchorage area. A lot of it's moved out into my area, so I agree with this, but, you know, I do have a concern if the department is taking, you know, some time for this. I think that they can look at other things too. With that, I'd like to make a motion to move the bill.
Are there objections to moving the bill? Not so worried. Yeah, the sponsors have recommended a zero fiscal note, so that's really, if I understand how a fiscal note works, we can do whatever we want with it, but unless the Finance Committee adopts it, it doesn't do a lot of good anyway. So.
With a bit when the bill leaves committee, it'll have a little fiscal note attached to it. The zero fiscal note in the original.
We're just recommending the fiscal note that's offered by the sponsors at zero.
Okay.
Is there anything else to come for the committee? For adjournment. And we can.